started. Thank you for joining us at the October 25th CBGB board meeting. We will start with a pledge led by Mr. Paul James.
Please repeat after with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening. We have a call to order and we've done the pledge. The consent agenda is in front of you, which includes the approval of the agenda for tonight, approval of the minutes from the September 27th meeting, and notice of the next meeting on November 15th. I accept a motion for the consent agenda. Right, Shannon, and who's second?
Dave.
Gary. Thank you for joining us. Good. Okay, great. We would open it up for public comments now. Are there any public here that would like to make a comment? Not hearing or seeing any. Okay. Then we're going to move down to board business number five. 5A is a consideration of the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan. And I think it's worth noting who the Public Agency Safety Committee is. This is made up of the drivers, maintenance people. It's a small committee made of dispatch and supervisors. And every year we have to submit this to the Federal Transportation Administration. And it's behooved on the board to adopt this. The real change in this year's plan is we added MicroTrend to it. So that's primarily, well, that is the only change. That's the only change, and we're about to submit this to the FTA. Are there any discussion you'd like to have about changes to the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan? If not, I would accept a motion to approve it.
Paul James, I move we approve the Public
Paul James.
Transportation Agency.
Jeff Turley is number two. All in favor of the plan, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed, say nay. It carries. We will talk about the presentation of the 2024 budget. Kurtz Roberts, please take it.
Awesome. So we had budget committee meetings. We've had the workshops. And thanks to everyone who attended into those workshops. We appreciate the questions that were asked. We've prepared a packet for you, very similar to last year. So we're starting with page 27 of your packet, the key budget priorities. Looks like that one. This was what the board adopted back in September. Then you'll see the budget that we're proposing. And you'll have, they have basically until November 15th to have you guys look at it, and then we'll have you adopt the tentative budget. The next pages after that are explanations of some of the key differences, a list of our capital projects, and then we've also provided for you the questions and related answers to the questions that happened during the budget workshop meetings. Is everybody confused by the packet already?
Nope.
If you attended the meetings, you should know.
So in those meetings, we went through specifically and talked about where the budget priorities were satisfied. One, the key takeaway that we're trying to communicate with this budget is our goal is to keep our existing service levels constant. So we're not proposing adding service, we're not proposing deleting service, we're proposing keeping service the same. Within that, we always want operating revenues to exceed operating expenses. The budget that's here presents that. If you pop to the next page, and there's a green highlighted area about two-thirds of the way down, doesn't show up on that one, about 161,000 that's there. That means that our operating revenues exceed our operating expenses. We like that. That means we're staying within our revenues. The capital plan, you'll notice that it does have us spending $10.3 million. More than what we're taking in grants. The board had set aside $13 million for capital projects, and so we're within our target range there. We're hoping that we'll be able to attract in more money from the state. But right now, we can't function and finish building the building. So one of the key aspects under our capital was to be able to have funds to finish our building off, and this budget has enough funds for that. So that's critical. Other key points, we're going to continue with the safety culture that we have, so we'll continue with our safety programs. We're also going to strive to keep our wages competitive. I will point out that in this budget, there is a proposal to increase the driver's starting wages by 75 cents per hour. And that is in the explanation on page 30. There is a market adjustment pool for $170,000. Some of that is targeted with a 75 cent per hour increase to the drivers. We feel like that's what's needed to keep us competitive in this marketplace for the next year.
The way you phrased that, it sounded like it was only for new drivers. Is that the case?
No, thanks for the clarification. This will increase the starting wage.
Wherever your step is, it's going to get
through all the drivers.
Yeah. Be a 75 cent COLA increase or
for all the drivers.
Yeah, COLA increase, yeah.
Yes.
Before you had, didn't you have like a cap on pay at like $25 an hour?
Yeah, so the cap will go up by 75 cents as well.
Okay.
That'll be their market range.
Whatever step is, those drivers are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Wouldn't the percentage be better than on?
Well, we tend to focus on what we need to stay within the market. We consider doing a percentage. Remember, this is only for the drivers. We analyze each position and target them to the market. We actually have a database that we have access into that attracts for Logan specifically, and so we target positions relative to other comparable positions. So that's why we don't use a percentage adjustment. We're actually trying to be right there competitive with what the market's saying. Okay. It's a little bit different than what other people do. Some people just do it across the board, COLA for everybody. We're trying to just keep things as conservative and transparent as possible. By doing this, we can keep people right within their market ranges. Occasionally one position needs a little bit more adjustment than another position.
If you kept doing that, though, they would shrink.
Well, that's one of the things that we've established a pay range area for each area, and we monitor that so that we don't get the wage compression.
So periodically, those ranges can shift upward.
Absolutely.
As changes take place in the market.
Exactly. Those, other than that, we as we presented in the key budget priorities, we got the campaign to augment the brand. I know it says rebrand, we gotta change that word, augment the brand. We're also doing, we've put aside money for the electric vehicles strategic master plan as well as the economic impact. So all of those are contained in this budget. I think rather than just sitting here listening to me go through all the stuff, I'd open it up for more questions. What questions do you
have? Can I ask a question regarding timeline? We're going to pass the second presentation and passing the budget is targeted for our December meeting, correct? Or is it our November?
Yeah, so November, we're required to pass a tentative budget.
Right.
And so that's a critical meeting to have enough votes. And that meeting, if I Teresa, I'm right, is November 15th. Okay, and then December 13th is the board meeting that will adopt the final budget.
Do we pass the benefits package
tonight? Okay. That's a different issue. So we look at your calendars. We really need attendance on, especially December 13th. I'll speak from example. It's my wife's 50th birthday, but I will be here.
We should send her some flowers.
That means we'll get out early.
It actually usually is a quick meeting because we've gone through all the work.
Yeah.
Trust me, it will be a fast meeting. I'm
reading it.
In the salaries and benefits, you'll notice that there is no increase or decrease for the benefits. We were fortunate enough with our health insurance provider that they did a 0% increase.
Wow, that's really unusual.
Okay, hang on, are we moving on?
No, I'm just bringing it up for the salaries and benefits. Okay. I'm just touching it, setting it up to where we can move faster.
You're teeing it up, that's great.
Yeah.
So we'll go through the next one.
Okay, just a couple quick questions. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed both workshops. I was gone that week, but one of them is our public outreach community engagement. Where do those funds go to?
The bulk of those funds go to various outreach programs where we're going out to, like, Utah State University. We're going to different activities throughout the communities. It also encompasses certain advertisements that we put on the bus that's just designed for outreach. So in this one, I believe there's money for putting the new Connect logo on the bus.
Maybe the bus rodeo, where we bring all the elected officials in.
Okay. It's kind of cool. Okay. Pays for anything from food to maybe extra time, salary, that.
Not salaries. This is just cost that it takes to put the event on. So different materials, different advertisements.
And then how do professional fees differ from subscriptions and memberships?
Great question, thank you. For the subscription and memberships, those specifically are certain professional organizations that we pay memberships to belong to. One such thing is we're a member of the Utah Association of Special Districts. So that's a membership fee. It's not necessarily professional services. Professional services, more like when we're hiring the attorney, we're hiring our auditor, we're hiring our marketing firm. So they're actually providing a professional service to it, where the other ones are basically a subscription type service.
Okay. My last question, it's 15 seconds of a curmudgeon. We're putting a ton of money into rebranding, and I mean, is rebranding really worth it? Okay, my curmudgeon seconds over. That was a rhetorical question. We don't even have to answer.
What is the question? I don't even understand.
Well,
we're spending money on
it. It was a statement, not a question.
Observation.
Yeah. It was an observation. I was asking, and I was wondering if rebranding is really worth all this cost. I mean, are we going to get anything out of it? More ridership, more coverage, more
goodwill. What's the benefit?
Yeah. It's a lot of cost in this budget alone. I mean, if we look at Curtis's explanations, almost each one of those, you know, an extra $10,000, extra $50,000 for rebranding, uniforms, bus wraps.
How long has it been since the last time it was branded?
When CBD was born.
It used to be LTD, I guess.
CBD. Yeah.
10 years?
No.
Well, when they were merged,
30 years old, right?
When they were merged, they created the CBD.
And when was the last time uniforms were replaced with a new MH and time and stuff like that?
That was that when we brought everything in house in 2008. Well, 2007.
The 2008. Reflective stripes.
So yeah, it's been a while.
So
it just happened to catch up all of our
decade old.
Yeah.
We are proposing a refresh on that. A different coloring, different type of materials.
I've seen the rebranding before when the brand was suffering, the charge wasn't.
Why your kids may not think so.
I just don't know the value of a rebrand.
That's a good point.
I don't know, did Rumor Talks into doing this? Because they're that day. Anyway.
Okay.
You can cut it. You're not going to get a return on anything in here. This is not a business.
That's true.
In fact, we give the service away. So there's not like a real clean answer to, you know, should we do it? Should we put $10,000 into it? The issue is going to be more in terms of the longevity of it. CBTD is a fun thing. It doesn't roll off the tongue at all. It takes a little while to get it out. It's not really changing the ownership entity. It will always be Cache Valley Transit District. But as we look to rebrand, it also gives us the ability to broaden our services. And you know, we don't anticipate being in Cache Valley forever. It will cost us more money if we just keep kicking the ball down the road. And the question of whether the brand will be known as Connect was kind of just not even a question. That's kind of just what's going to happen. It wasn't even at a board policy level. So
I don't mind the brand. The Connect, I think, is a great idea. I just was just a rebranding process. I only ever hear of it when the brand is in trouble. I knew ownership, so
Curtis is trying to tell you something. Just kidding. Brand's not in trouble.
Brand is not in trouble, you know, and so it's like, I mean, it's not, I bet if we go through this, there's several hundred thousand dollars, not including what we pay Rumor that we're putting in to rebrand.
We added up, it's about $150,000.
Okay, okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm
small
on it. Something that I noticed. Amazing to me that I noticed it, but I was watching the Museum of Folklore on last Sunday, and they used to have almost three or big pipes through the big pipe work in the tabernacle, and I noticed that to advertise it, to show this is where we are, it was just their little brand, and I looked, and they have updated that. It's stylistic now, you can still tell that it's representing the pipe work, but it's brand new. And I thought to myself, well, how advanced did they look at that, where they are, they're out of town. And maybe it's very sublingual perhaps, but maybe if people that do this kind of thing know about the community and they're thinking it's time, maybe we need to be up here rather to look like we're modern and driving modern buses with modern drivers and all that stuff. I'd have a problem with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things inside a brand. To Mary's point, nearly every brand does a refresh. Apple doesn't have the rainbow logo anymore. And it does inspire a little bit more energy and a little bit different look on things. And frankly, the rebranding is the culmination of a whole bunch of different things, including we're trying to be better services. We're trying to run a more efficient service. Think microtransit. We're enhancing the technology. Think the apps and the calendars that we put into the buses. We're 30 years into this. This last year was our 30-year anniversary. It's okay to do a refresh every so often.
Well, from a strategic planning perspective, if you see changes on the horizon, then it's prudent to make whatever changes from a brand perspective will position you so that when those changes take place in the future, you're in step with everything you need to have when it happens, rather than trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And every successful business over time, through its cycle, they continually update their strategic plan, and as a result, they may tweak their brand in order to better reflect what's happening from a strategic planning perspective.
All right, no, thank you. This all, you guys have helped me understand it and appreciate it.
Yeah, just saying, when I was up at the university, I think I went through two of them in terms of rebranding, and it was just being current, so you look like you're relevant with everyone else.
The impression of newness and recency.
And then nothing was going wrong there. It was just time to update.
I've been part of about four rebrands in the last 20 years in Bridgerland. And it's been mandated by us. But it is expensive, and it takes a while to be able to get it rolling off your tongue from going to BATC or BAVC or Bridgerland Applied Technology College or whatever to what it is now, Bridgerland Technical College, and it's painful. It's painful to make that change, and it once it's done. So consistency, I think, is something. I mean, we've had this logo forever. We've had this brand forever. Maybe it is time to change, but you know, in 5 years, hopefully people will know it as Connect. And it's the Cache Valley Transit District. rather than saying it's a CBTD, you know, whatever connect means.
I probably should have thought about this more, because we just got new countertops and the old ones were just fine.
And who made that decision?
Yeah, I know, I was in on that one too. And they were expensive. I rebranded my kitchen.
Okay, good conversation. Any questions about the budget? Anything you guys want to explore in this right now? All right, why don't we continue on, keep contemplating it. Next meeting, we're going to look for an approval of a tentative budget, and then we're going to march toward a December 13th approval of the final budget. We're available for questions and discussion until then. Continuing on with 5C, Curtis, we're back to you.
So as I mentioned, health insurance came back with a 0% increase. We were ecstatic about that. Based off of other things that we've been hearing in the market. So what we're presenting to the board is that we continue with the exact same benefit package as we've offered the employees in the past, with no changes.
Then I would move that we approve the benefit package as you've explained.
Thanks, Dave Gary.
I'll second it.
Okay, Sean seconded it, great. All in favor of approving the health benefit package, the employee benefit package, please make it known by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any nays? Okay, none. Sounds like it carries. Okay, this is exciting. We're going to go into closed executive session. The purpose of this section is to discuss personnel. The closed session is the Logan City Hall at 290 North, 100 West, Logan, Utah, in the City Hall Conference Room. And I need a motion and a second to go into closed session to discuss personnel issues.
Well, James, I move that we go into closed session.
And a second. And I need 2/3 in favor of doing it, so we must do a roll call vote. Aaron, say aye or nay.
Aye.
Okay, Gregory?
Aye.
Paul?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Bob, okay. Holly?
Aye.
Patrick? Aye. Glenn?
Aye.
Sue?
Aye.
Ron?
Aye.
Thank you. Dave?
Aye.
Jeannie?
Aye.
Mary?
Aye.
Jeff Turley?
Aye.
Sean Bushman? Aye. Okay, we're all in favor. We can stop the record. Pause the recording. I'm going into the closed session. And we're back in session. You can open the doors and let Jody back in. Sorry, that was so complicated. I haven't done that in 20 years, so. All right. Let's go to the general manager's report. Bruce Roberts, you get to talk about the site visit from FDA and update on UDOT, please.
Absolutely, thank you. So we had an FDA official come out to our site a little bit over a week ago. I guess it's pushing about 2 weeks. Very intensive time. We actually spent the entire day with her, all the morning on site, and then all the afternoon going through things, and then some follow-up. So they're taking our project very seriously. She took tons of pictures. Key takeaways, they were super excited with how the project's progressing. Understand our frustration with groundwater, and they were fully updated as to the status and where the project's at. So there was no findings or anything like that that came from their report. We discussed with them all the funding mechanisms and shared that. They're extremely pleased with all our processes in place for that. The one downside that came out of it was for the Buy America, we have to go through and basically re-perform every Buy America test that the contractor's doing. So we're working on a plan to step that up. We got preliminary ideas of how we're gonna take care of that. We've been monitoring Buy America, we just haven't re-performed all the contractor's tests. So we got everything in place so we can re-perform that. But everything else was in compliance, and so far so good. They'll be coming up about quarterly going forward.
Do we have to go back to the beginning for the Buy America, or can it go from this point forward?
We have to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
That's why we got to go back through and re-perform those tests.
So everything in the facility has to be domestic?
There are certain exceptions where
electric.
There are certain exceptions for the dollar amounts where they don't have to certify Buy America, and there are certain exceptions for goods that they could be manufactured overseas, but then they're assembled here in the United States. Quite frankly, one of the biggest ones that is challenging right now is there's not a porcelain toilet that's made in America. There's acrylic and there's stainless steel, so basically plastic or steel. But anything porcelain, it's made in China, and they don't consider connecting it to the wall assembly. So there's a big dispute going on with FTA relative to toilets.
Even Kohler toilets?
Nope. Yep.
American standard.
Yeah. Yeah. Mexico. So we're
not in China.
Yeah,
I've been through the Kohler clan in Wisconsin and watched them make toilets.
Yeah, I thought they made toilets in Wisconsin.
They're the acrylic ones, and stainless steel is what everything that we've been told.
Stainless steel, what they're using at present.
But that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Before everything went south.
But China is different. Can they accept, you know, this continent? It's like Mexico.
Unfortunately, it doesn't provide North America. So
it doesn't have
it's a great
100%,
idea.
Does it?
What's that?
It doesn't have to be 100% America, does it?
It has to be, the rules get really complex, but it has to be assembled in America. It can have components from other places, but it has to be assembled here. And so the final assembly. And so we'll have an air conditioner with subcomponents from all sorts of different countries, but then it's assembled at a plant here.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question was, does all of our purchasing, all of the products have to be Buy America?
There are certain exceptions for dollar amounts where they don't have to prove that they're Buy America.
How much is that dollar amount?
A subcontract that's under $150,000.
A toilet.
I'd be buying just $149,000
worth of
toilets.
Can you buy them all at one time?
There are rules too, though. That's not the only rule.
I can't split purchases to get any ones.
And a lot of that stuff for our building was purchased a long time ago. It hasn't been laying around because of transportation difficulties in getting products in. Is that true?
For what?
A lot of the products, like electrical components, those come in from overseas, and if you stack those up, they get them hard to get them over here and to do that with the assemblies and stuff like that. So some of the components take a while to get, so they were purchased. The contractors purchased those earlier so they could install.
Yeah, there's lead times for everything that we're putting into here. Our contractor's really good at monitoring the lead times, but even then, we have to verify, they have to sign certifications for Buy America.
What are other projects doing? They run the same thing, I say.
That's why it's gone all the way up to FTA, and there's High Valley's in the same situation because they're building right now. There's a couple other projects in the region. And it's going all, it sounds like it's going all the way up to headquarters.
It's
quite
a
laugh.
USDA's got similar.
Yeah.
Sinks in the United States?
I haven't heard anything about the sinks that are going in, that of not being able to find something certified. It's the toilets that are the.
Is that a bit of China?
Did the toilet seat that was made in America assembled together before they put it on the wall?
They're talking about all those things. It's like I said, it's gone all the way up for region and even going to headquarters. So this could be a fun one.
Yeah.
Well, it's good comedy.
Amen.
Okay, enough about toilets. How about you, Doc?
They deal a lot with a lot of crap.
Okay, Todd updated me on this one. UDOT is looking at how to create connectivity from all the way like Pocatello and into Idaho, all the way down St. George and even in, past into Vegas. So they want to be, so they've started a study and we're participating with them in that as far as providing information. But they're looking at various ways in which they can make connectivity services available to where somebody can travel all the way from the north end of the state to the south end of the state, and what those options would be. So you may be hearing some updates. You may be receiving...
Pocatello's in Idaho.
What's that?
Pocatello's not at that end.
I know, but they're looking at places that they would connect to, like even Boise, and how they would connect that down through our state all the way down to the south. So full connectivity throughout the state to various other destinations.
Does that mean it's your rail? I saw a thing from UDOT for rail from Boise.
That's
Salt Lake to Vegas.
Yeah, that's a part of the study of what's the best way to do it. So you'll be there could be more discussions that come of how do we participate in that, what efforts are going on, are they gonna contract it out to a different carrier? That would help provide that service.
Doesn't Salt Lake Express already provide that?
That's one of the things they're evaluating is how can they augment that to where it becomes more accessible all the way through.
Well, they're having a great problem over that.
Hell yeah.
So there is that study that's on, but we just want to make you aware of the study that's happening.
Okay, let's move on to the board chair. The only thing I have tonight is recognition of our employees. We have fantastic employees. We'd like to recognize when they're having an anniversary with us. You can see the drivers, Mickey Christensen, Sarah Earle, Gary Flaherty, all 2 years, Robert Haynes, Casey Maxwell, Cesar Trujillo, 1 year with us. In dispatch, Trevor Sylvia has been with us for 5 years, and maintenance, Jared Hall, has been with us for 4 years, and our very own Brad Nielsen here has been with us 4 years. Thank you for your service. Okay, are there any other comments from the board, questions, considerations? Any other public comment? On that note, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.